One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This is Internet Marketing. Hello and welcome to episode 162 of Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. And today Kelvin tackles the subject of mobile commerce with Paul Skelton. All coming up on Internet Marketing.
What's the best place for people to get started on M-commerce, you know, kind of mobile commerce? Is there kind of particular areas or things that they should be looking at before making the decision about whether it's right for them as an area to explore?
I think it depends what they want to do. I mean, I guess the sort of easiest starting point is to look at how many people are hitting your online retail sort of property from a mobile device or a tablet. If you're finding that sort of, you know, a reasonable proportion of people are starting to do it, and it's a growing number of people are hitting you from smartphones and tablet computers, then yes, I think that's probably the ideal starting point. I think if you're really starting from scratch, I think you've got to look at what you're trying to actually achieve with mobile. Mobile in a sort of commerce setting is a fairly broad offering, really covering everything from how you kind of market and engage people right through to sort of how you make a transactional mobile website, plus everything in between. So I think you've got to sort of either look at how people are hitting your website and what they're trying to do, look at how people are using things like social networking and things like Google Maps and review sites. Are they sort of looking at reviews then coming into your store? Are they coming into your store and then barcode scanning your goods and buying them for sort of cheaper online? You know, you need quite a holistic sort of assessment, I think, of what your consumers want. Or indeed, failing having access to that data, ask them.
And I suppose kind of is the common starting point for this, where someone makes that question, should I have a mobile site? How do you feel kind of, because I know there's kind of competing views, and I suppose the answer is it depends. But I suppose the traditional kind of question is, do I need a mobile site? If I do, do I go for a mobile site or an app? Or increasingly, I suppose, there's the kind of, is responsive web design the answer? And I know it's going to depend and be different for every kind of business. But is there kind of a general pattern of, you know, your preference that you can see there?
I think, I don't know, I mean, I think people should really be sort of beyond the point of sort of saying, do I need to do something mobile? I think really, even if you haven't sort of got evidence yet to back it up, you will at some point in the next 12 to 18 months start to find people are trying to access you through mobile. So I think you need to have, everybody needs to look at how they can go mobile. How you then start that process, it's a tricky one. I mean, there is the apps versus mWeb argument. That's sort of in many ways run its course. I mean, what people are sort of tending to offer now are these sort of hybrid apps that are sort of web-enabled apps that bring the sort of best of both worlds. For people who haven't really sort of thought it through, an app is really handy because it just sits on your smartphone or tablet computer desktop, and it's like a button with your name on it, so it's very easy for people to find you.
Whereas it's a valuable bit of real estate, isn't it? That to have that.
It is indeed. It is indeed, and you know, it's this is the sort of the greatest gift I think that that Steve Jobs left us with. Really, was a very simple way of accessing things through a smartphone. Finding things through the mobile web is a little more tricky because you have to sort of type in a URL or know where to look, and that can be a bit fiddly on a small keyboard. What's tending to happen now are these hybrid apps where you've got an app which is a nice real estate property on the smartphone or tablet device, but really it's actually connected to a website, so that you're pumping out sort of up-to-date content. You can change and update everything that's in your store very easily, because the trouble with an app is to change what's in it you have to do an update, which has to go through the app stores, which then has to be notified to the app owner, who then has to download it. Whereas if you've got a hybrid app, every time you fire up the app, it's just basically connecting to the web and pulling down the latest content. So you can be much more flexible. So personally, I would look at how you would develop a hybrid app that would work if you weren't connected to the internet, would work even better if you were connected to the internet and leverage the technology that way. That, however, can be expensive.
Yeah. And what do you think is kind of the most common mistake that people tend to make when they've kind of said, okay, I'm going to do this, we're going to do this right, we're going to make sure that we're dealing with mobile properly? Is there kind of a quite common series of mistakes that people make that you've seen that, you know, that the listeners ought to try and avoid?
Yeah, the commonest thing is to sort of think, I've got an iPhone, my boss has got an iPhone, everyone I work with's got an iPhone, we must make an iPhone app. Whereas, you know, it might be that you're in a line of business where most of your customers aren't in that kind of world at all and don't have access to iPhones. Barrett Shoes famously did this. They were one of the first companies to do a mobile app, and it was really sophisticated and great. It only worked on iPhones, and the demographic of Barrett Shoes isn't really an iPhone owning demographic. So that's the commonest mistake, is overestimating the technology that your consumers may have. If you're a high-end sort of electronic retailer, there's probably a good chance that most of your customers have iPads, so maybe that's the way to go. So that's probably the commonest mistake. I think the next commonest mistake is either to spend too little or spend far too much. I think you really need to look at it closely and get as much independent advice as you can as to what you really are trying to do and how to best achieve that most cost effectively. I think a lot of people are put off because they've spent a lot of money, ended up with an app, it's not very good, and they've had their fingers burnt and feel that that mobile isn't for them, which is a shame.
And you talked there about kind of Barrett's as an example of you know, that UK shoe retailer who perhaps got it a bit wrong. Is there a kind of particular examples of brands or organizations who you really like to kind of shine a light on, who you think who really have got their head around m-commerce?
Yes, I think that people like Tesco's have really nailed it. They, just to save time, developed an app for their sort of electronic and sort of goods wholesale business, and they developed a mobile website for their grocery business, so they could develop the two in tandem with two different teams. But really, they've sat down and thought about how people are going to use mobile to do their grocery shopping as opposed to how they might do it on a computer. And they've started to just work in things to do with your location, or to do with the fact that you might be able to barcode scan goods you've already bought for them. You might be wandering around your kitchen, you could, it's a bit fiddly, but you can just scan the barcodes and all the things you bought in Tesco's last week and build a shopping list that way. So they, I think, are a sort of great example of someone who's really thought it through. Kiddycare, the sort of children's goods of retailer, they've really got an excellent mobile website. They've also integrated web into their stores as well, where you can use the barcode scanner again on your phone to download a lot more information about the goods that are on the shelves and reviews and all the rest of it. So those two are two very good examples. And I think the Kiddycare one is interesting because they've started to use mobile in store, which I think is one of the great potential areas for mobile retail.
And because we talked there a bit about kind of examples of offline retailers who've started to get their head around kind of mobile, do you think there'll be a kind of a glut or a wave of kind of mobile first organizations where actually perhaps is there going to be an Amazon of mobile who perhaps have a web presence, but actually they were all about mobile first? Do you think that they'll come, or is it far more likely to be that actually it'll just be the offline retailers will get it and the web retailers will get it as well, rather than a whole new breed of mobile, maybe not mobile only, but kind of mobile first retailers?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I don't, not as retail specific, I think. I think the sort of, you know, it's a hoary old cliche in mobile and retail circles that mobile sort of glue that holds sort of multi-channel retailing together. But I think that's sort of true. And I think sort of you won't find anyone just going down the mobile route. I can't think off the top of my head of any kind of retail sort of situation where it would only work on mobile. But I think you might find that while mobile is part of a mixture of online and in-store, you're going to find a greater emphasis on the mobile, because it's all, you know, it's basically giving you an online shopping experience, and it can give you an online in-store shopping experience. and it can start to bring in all the things to do with location and push marketing and things like that. So I think what will happen is most people that will have some sort of mobile property, they will find over the coming few years as consumers become much more mobile centric, that they are gradually becoming more mobile orientated. More and more of their business will come through mobile.
And as someone who kind of really gets mobile, how do you feel about the whole idea of responsive web design, whereby for kind of the listeners at home, responsive web design is kind of a logic that rather than having a mobile website and a web website, you have a website that just appears slightly differently, and it's kind of CSS on, so it'll appear in one layout for web, a slightly different layout for kind of tablet, and a different layout for mobile. And I mean, there's a website I've been involved in, the Brighton SEO one, where like the good example is if you go on desktop and you narrow the screen to the size of it, and it looks like what it would look like on a tablet, and then looks like what it would on a mobile. How do you feel about that as kind of a potential solution to the?
No, I think it's perfect. I mean, it's exactly how it should be. I mean, I long to live in a world where everything I do with my many different devices just seamlessly does the right thing for the right device based on where I am. So yes, I think responsive websites are very much going to be where sort of mobile optimization of websites goes. I think it's a much easier prospect for retailers to think, well, okay, we just design our website once, and the sort of, you know, the black box with flashing lights that we plug into it does the difficult bit for us. We end up with a nicely optimized website for whatever device. So yes, I think that is very much where this sort of thing needs to go. Again, I think at the moment it's a matter of cost, isn't it, really?
And in terms of kind of like that's the big challenge, isn't it? It's a kind of, okay, I can see that this is important, but kind of, you know, coming up with the plan and the budgets for that could be quite difficult. Have you got any advice for people in terms of how they can kind of, I don't know, forecast potential revenue from mobile ones, or kind of how they build the business case to justify that expense?
I think they need to, as I said sort of at the beginning, look at sort of where their traffic's coming from, and if they're finding an increasing number of hits are coming from mobile devices, then you have to look at sort of in more depth then as to sort of what those people are buying. Are they dwelling and buying, or is it leading to them buying through another channel but further down the line? I mean, it's a difficult one to quantify. I think there is an element in some people's minds of it being a bit like the emperor's new clothes, that everyone else has got it, so we must have it too. But I don't really know whether there's a business case. I think that increasingly computing, anything you do online, will be done on some sort of mobile device. You know, it's just an easier way of doing things. I mean, already I sort of feel my desktop computer is a bit passé. I think sort of soon, you know, this will be the majority view. So I think you can't not do it, really. I think building an ROI case, though, for your cash-strapped finance director is right now sort of tricky, but not impossible. And I think if you look at the sort of statistics that are starting to come through from you know, how the market is analysed, I mean, the IMRG Capgemini's latest sort of quarter benchmarks found that, you know, slightly more than 5% now of online sales are through mobile. So it's grown, you know, from virtually nothing to a 20th in 2 years. You know, it's on a sort of exponential growth curve. You know, this will soon be 10%, then 20%, and then before you know it, you'll just have to do it. So you might as well look at it now.
And I suppose that's a good way of doing it. It's the kind of, if the first question is, are you getting 5% of your sales from mobile? If not, then you're missing out on something. And then if you are getting kind of, I don't know, say 2.5% of your traffic, of your sales from mobile, you then say, of your traffic, sorry, and you say, okay, well, if 2.5% of our traffic from mobile, of our website is from mobile, what rate is that converting at? And I suppose a simple way would be, well, is that converting at a poorer rate than our normal websites? And work it through in that way, maybe.
I think it's more complicated than that, because I think people are looking at things on mobile than converting sort of through other channels, either online at a desktop or actually going into a store or doing it later on, you know, on their phone, you know, at a later date, or passing it on to other people. The trouble with mobile is one of its greatest benefits is it's a very personal device. But also because of that, it's quite difficult to track exactly how people are then responding to it. I think the sort of key thing to bear in mind with mobile is that not only is it giving people a channel in to buy things from you, but it's giving you as a business a chance to interact and engage with your consumers and potential consumers, which is where the sort of whole mobile marketing side of things comes in. So I think it requires a bit of a mindset sort of shift. It's not like just moving what you do online onto a mobile device. It's about looking at what a mobile device is actually doing, what its users are doing with it, what it can do for them, and how you can start this sort of two-way relationship with your consumers. And there's a value to that that might not be tangible in terms of sort of pounds coming straight into the till and goods flying out the door, but it does build towards better sales and better relationships. So this is the complexity of it. It's a marketing tool, it's a sales tool, it's a loyalty tool, it's an engagement tool, and it's very personal, and people can find you and you can find them, and it's a much more complicated sort of view of how you engage with consumers.
And Paul, a final question in terms of, so if someone's listened to the podcast here and they said, okay, I clearly, you know, the cliche is the year of the mobile is here, but in terms of, I can see that I ought to be paying more attention to mobile, what's the best places that they ought to be looking to kind of be looking for case studies, looking for the latest trends, the latest technology to help them, you know, stay up to speed with mobile if that's something that perhaps they've ignored a little bit in the past?
Well, I mean, for the beginner, they need to put my name into Amazon, because I wrote a book about mobile commerce. Yep. And how mobile can be used in a commercial setting. It's a bargain. I think it's only about £7, even less if you get the Kindle version. But failing that, I mean, there's my M Retailing newsletter and news website, which is part of internetretailing.net. If you go onto internetretailing.net and click on M Retailing, that's got all the latest news, all the latest case studies. Every fortnight we put out the sort of top eight most interesting stories, plus an intro. Every 2 months in Internet Retailing magazine, there's a whole load of stuff by me and my colleagues about mobile retailing. Next week we're the 2nd, first 20 in the Internet Retailing Expo in Birmingham, and there's a whole conference track on the 22nd dedicated to all these different facets of how mobile works. So there's three very sort of
good
simple ways
to look, yeah.
Good places you can keep up to date with it. And yeah, of course, there is an awful lot of information now floating around on the web and various news sites and services about how to do this.
Cool. Fantastic, Paul. No, really helpful. And I mean, hopefully what that'll do is, and the way that I see this, is kind of, long have we known that mobile is important, but now it's actually less about kind of making that case that it's important. It's down into the real detail of making it work, which I think is where the real exciting times are going to come.
Absolutely, absolutely. And yes, like I say, 2 years' time, we won't even be talking about mobile retailing. Everyone will just be doing it. It'll just be how retail works.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments, and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150. And you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.